The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Father, that's our prayer this morning, that you would give us Christian homes, godly fathers and mothers. We pray, Father, that Christ would truly be the center of our homes. And Father, we ask this morning as we look at the fifth commandment, that you would give us help and understanding and how to apply this, Lord, no matter what stage of life we're in. And we commit this time to you, and we pray that you would be glorified in it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So in your notes, I have printed for you the fifth commandment from Exodus 20 and verse 12. And so maybe we could read that together. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Paul quotes this in Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And then in the Heidelberg Catechism, it says, what does God require in the fifth commandment? The answer, that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. So, we come to the fifth commandment, and traditionally, the Ten Commandments, and we talked about this in the introduction, are divided into two tables of the law. The first table includes the first four commandments, which are directly related to our relationship with God. And then commandments 5-10, the second table of the law, relate to our relationships with other people. And so, in a sense, the first table of the law deals with the first great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second table of the law deals with the second great commandment, which is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so, in a sense, the second table of the law, commandments 5-10, give us a guide on what it means to love our neighbor. All right? Now, the fifth commandment is interesting in that many have pointed out that it is somewhat of a transitional commandment. And it's a transitional commandment because in the first four, the idea is unqualified obedience to God. That fifth commandment is transitional in the sense that obedience to our parents, who are our first authority in life, is rendering obedience to God. Okay? So there's a wonderful sense in which that fifth commandment is sort of a hinge commandment. And I used to tell my kids all the time when they were little, if you don't learn to obey your mom and dad, you'll never learn to obey God, right? And so, Doug Stewart, his Old Testament scholar, he says, now comes a commandment that follows logically after the first four because it's concerned with honoring parents who have the awesome role in the family of representing God to their children. So if you think about that, if you still have children at home, you represent their creator to them, So that is the second table of the law as it relates to the first. But what about the second table in the stability of society? Okay. So in the second table, I would put it like this. The second table is given for any given society, establishing a moral law that provides for the stability of that society. Okay? So, for instance, the fifth commandment protects the family and authority. The sixth commandment protects human life. The seventh commandment protects marriage. The eighth commandment protects property. The ninth commandment protects the truth. And the tenth commandment is designed to protect our hearts. And so, it's been observed that that the fifth commandment and the rest of the second table was not only crucial for the family, but also crucial for society. And when you think about it, that fifth commandment is in a sense a foundation. So Mark Rooker puts it like this: the family structure laid the foundation for all other forms of authority and obedience within the culture, right? And so the family is in a sense the most foundational authority structure in society. Okay? So the command itself says, honor your father and mother. All right? And notice, first of all, the command is to honor. This comes from the Hebrew word kavod, which means heavy. Okay? We often translate, you know how we translate kavod, right? We often translate it glory. Okay? The glory of God is the weightiness of God. Well, as put in terms of a verb, the idea is to show honor to somebody. It could be to glorify, but that probably should be reserved for God. But in terms of as it applies to other people on a horizontal level, the idea is to show them honor. And so the word implies, theological word book of the Old Testament, the word implies a person in a place of responsibility and authority who deserves honor. And so to honor your mother and father is to give them respect, to give them the attention that they deserve, and the obedience that they deserve. So the opposite, by the way, of honoring parents would be cursing or showing contempt for parents. So parents are the representatives of God, and therefore they have dignity and should be honored. All right? And so notice also the commandment specifies father and mother. Okay? It doesn't just say father. It includes father and mother. And this, by the way, is consistent with the Hebrew scriptures because both father and mother are often mentioned together. Okay? So even though Hebrew society was strongly patriarchal, there was also a robust emphasis on the mother's role and the mother's authority within the family. So even Solomon, by the way, if you want to think about it this way, the whole book of Proverbs is in many ways the explanation and application of the fifth commandment. Okay? This is instruction to a son on how to live. All right? And Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Okay? And so both mother and father are to be given honor and respect and to be obeyed. And then the promise is long life in the land. Now, if you notice, when we read the Deuteronomy section, it's a little different than Exodus 20:12. It says that your days may be prolonged. That's the same as Exodus 20:12. And that it may go well with you. That's an addition in Deuteronomy with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. So there's a reward offered, as it were, to those who would honor mother and father. Okay? Long life, and that it may go well with you. Okay? Now, by the way, can you think of other passages in the Proverbs that indicate this very same kind of thing, where either a life of wisdom or a life of righteousness actually has as its result long life or things going well in life, right? I mean, in a sense, that's what the Proverbs are after, is teaching you a wisdom that improves, as it were, the quality of life under God, all right? And so here's this promise, but there's a veiled threat in the promise, isn't there? Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land, right? What's the veiled threat? If you don't, your life may be short, okay? And you will not succeed in the land, all right? That veiled threat, by the way, is explicitly stated in a number of Proverbs. For instance, Proverbs 20:20, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness, right? And so here's the idea, is that stability and longevity in the land was predicated upon the Israelites' willingness to respect authority, beginning first of all, obviously, with God, but then also with parents, and then with civil authority. And so here's the basic principle. To live a life of honoring parents, okay, following their wisdom, obeying their precepts, generally leads to a healthy and productive life. Okay? Al Mohler is always so fascinating. He always brings up things that are really amazing. Little facts. He says, a recent article in USA Today profiled successful CEOs of large companies and discovered that most of them were spanked as children. It is a stunning realization to many readers of USA Today that those who have worked their ways into positions of leadership were spanked as children. There must be a psychological lesson there, and indeed there is, but there's also a theological lesson, because the seat of learning is a means of reaching the heart and the soul, and parents understand this, right? So there's a sense, right, where, I mean, and of course, I'm assuming that this is a biblical corrective discipline, but here you have parents that are actively engaged in, as it were, enforcing the fifth commandment, and you look at the people that we would consider successful in this life, and they are like, yeah, I was spanked as a kid. Since as a child, I was made to obey. Which, by the way, should give us great concern for the rising generation, okay, that have no sense of authority and no sense of submission and no sense of obedience. Now, there, of course, are going to be exceptions, and not everyone is blessed with wise and godly parents. Okay. And not everyone is blessed with a mom or a dad who gives godly counsel or even discipline. Okay. And there are, in fact, obedient children who die in car accidents or who get sick. Right. So this is not some sort of absolute obey your parents and you'll succeed in life. But it is establishing, as it were, sort of a general principle. You look at the people that grow up and they are rebellious against parents. Oftentimes that trajectory in their life doesn't change. And they end up being rebellious against their boss and against, you know, other authority. And so the principle is a general one, but it is one that really deserves our attention. I also want to just qualify something, and that is that there are, of course, people, many people, who end up having abusive parents or who end up having negligent parents. And how this command of honoring mother and father when mother or father is an abuser or negligent or obviously needs to be applied with God's grace and God's wisdom, because the command is going to look different if you have a godly mother and father as opposed to a wicked mother and father. All right? So let's think for a little bit, just a few minutes, about the commandment applied to minor children. All right? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? Jason? Jason's not a minor. Okay. So we have a good group in here, all right? So you got to pay attention now, because this is the fifth commandment applies to minor children. The obvious first implication is obedience to parents' authority. Okay? In fact, that is the way that Paul puts it in Ephesians 6. Now, there's a reason why. So the fifth commandment itself is broader than just minor children obeying their parents. But when Paul applies it to the Ephesian church and is directly addressing children, okay, he is telling them that the way this commandment applies to them is by obeying their parents. And so in one sense, honoring is more than obedience, but as minor children, it is never less than obedience. All right? So kids, your mom, your dad is in the place of authority. Now, mom and dad's authority is not absolute, okay? Because Ephesians 6, obey your parents, and what's the qualifying phrase? In the Lord, right? So, kids, if dad says, hey, I got a great idea, I'm going to stop in front of the 7-Eleven and I want you to go in and rob the cashier, okay, that is not to be obeyed, okay? Because you obey God and not men, all right? And that means if parents tell their children to do, you know, so for instance, Ma Barker should have been disobeyed by her sons, right? Some of you don't even know who Ma Barker is, right? All right. Now, Jason's like, no. So the parents cannot demand obedience to something that's outside of God's revealed will. That is actually very, very crucial, especially as children get older, okay? So respect for the parents' dignity as those who brought them into this world is absolutely crucial. The Bible is so clear about this. So you have a mom or a dad, or a mom and a dad, and God has put that person in your life to help you and to govern you and to make decisions for you and to help you become an adult. And what God requires of you is to submit to their authority and to obey them. In fact, Proverbs 30, verse 17 says this, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." Okay? By the way, having your eyeballs eaten out by birds is part of covenant curses. Okay? So in other words, the person that scorns a parent, disregards their mother, scorns or mocks a father, God says, my covenant curses actually will be upon you, right? Now, capital punishment was also appended to the violation of this commandment, Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. And at that point, all of the adults in here who reached adulthood are able to say, thanks be to God for the new covenant, okay? Because let's face it, if some of us would have been living under the old covenant, mom and dad would have dragged us before the magistrate and we would have been stoned to death, all right? And I remember we were doing family worship and we were reading through Deuteronomy and we read this part, and Zach was probably about 6 years old, and he looks at us after I talk about the importance of obeying your parents and how God actually is so important that God said, you know, if your son's a drunkard and rebellious and so forth, they were to be executed. And he looks at me, he says, did the Israelites execute children for getting into the brownies? And sure enough, there was a big scoop taken out of the brownies when we lifted the tin foil off. So, all right. So minor children, it's actually pretty straightforward in a sense. You obey your mom and dad, right? And in fact, a lot of times what ends up happening when the Holy Spirit starts to work in your life and bringing conviction, it's actually violating this very commandment that the Spirit starts to make you have a sense of your own sin. I've not obeyed my mom and dad as I should. You know, I've lied to them, I've deceived them, I've disobeyed them. And so the Holy Spirit can really use the fifth commandment in the life of a child to bring conviction and even the new birth. Now, here's the thing, is that the commandment itself is broader than to minor children. So that means we have to think about how it's applied to adult children. And this is, you know, this is a little tricky, I think, but it's not rocket science. I think it's clear that adult children are no longer bound to obey their parents, but they are always bound to honor their parents. Okay? So if my dad calls me up and says, hey, come rake the leaves, I actually have my own life. My own family. Now, if he calls and says, hey, I really need help with the yard, can you come over this Saturday and help? Then one way that I can honor him is by doing that, right? But he no longer has, so it was once Genesis 2:24, right? A man shall leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife. Once that person, once that male or female child actually becomes a part of a new family as a husband or a wife, that parental authority is very, very clearly no longer applicable, although the obligation to honor is still there. Okay? Now, what about transitional situations, adult children still living at home? Well, this is a little more difficult, all right? It's a little more challenging to kind of navigate through. Very clearly, If you are an adult child living at home, there are reasonable rules that need to be obeyed. So if the father of the house says to the son, you can't have your girlfriend live with you, that's the law, right? If the father or the mother say, you are not permitted while you're under this roof to cook kimchi in our kitchen. Okay? That's the law, all right? But here's the thing. Parents cannot treat adult children like they're minors. Okay? When you raise your children, you raise them to become adults. And what is a mature adult? A mature adult actually is one who makes decisions on their own and hopefully makes good decisions on their own. And I would just warn us that when parents try to make adult children obey them, okay, by the way, at that point, the rod of correction is no longer in operation, right? You're not going to take your belt and spank a 21-year-old adult, okay? But you have to understand that when an adult parent or when a parent is trying to make an adult child obey, typically they will do it either through manipulation or they will do it through just being a bully. And here's the thing, is that they are then at that point violating the scriptures, sinning against their children, because the scripture also says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they lose heart. And so when a parent is trying to still exercise a level of authority over an adult child, there is a sense in which they are at that point misusing their authority, and it ends up frustrating and even angering the adult child, with the result that they become discouraged. You can do so much nearly irreparable harm by being heavy-handed with adult children. And some parents can't see it. And adult children who are on their own, who've moved out, obviously need to honor their parents still and respect their parents. They need to seek their advice. And so if you're an adult and you're on your own, but you haven't established your own household yet, maybe you have, you got to think about what is honoring my mom and dad look like, right? And I'll just give you and it's not that I excelled in any of this. And of course, you know, when you lose a parent, then you start thinking about all the ways that you could have been a better son. But just calling, looking for opportunities to serve or to spend time with them, right? Now, here's one of the other ways the commandment applies to adult children, and that is adult children have a responsibility to care for their aging parents. So Paul tells those who are widows, actually tells families to take care of mothers who are now widows, who are dependents. In fact, his warning is, if anyone does not provide for his own household, especially of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, right? And so to just sort of push our parents in their old age off to the side is a grievous sin against God, right? We have a responsibility, and I know that so many of you, you know, even just looking around the room, I know many of you have served your aging parents, and you've served them well. And Jesus says in Mark 7, he was also saying to them, "You're experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever I have that would help you is korban,' that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such things like this." Al Mohler, I don't have it with me, there was reports of this massive heat wave that hit France a number of years ago. And there were thousands of elderly who died during the heat wave. And the problem is that their adult children were vacationing other places and would not return home to help their parents. It ended up impelling France to actually make legislation of the importance of taking care of aging parents in times of crisis and so forth. And so our parents took care of us when we were young and helpless. And so we have the responsibility, to the best of our ability, to look after them when they become old and increase in helplessness. And that's going to look different for different people, you know. If your parents live, you know, thousands of miles away, that looks different, okay? So there may be mitigating circumstances. So, for instance, in my case, my sister lives much closer to my dad than I do. So that closer proximity will actually increase her obligation, but it doesn't relieve me of mine, right? So there are circumstances that we need to keep in mind, but we need to have an understanding that we have a responsibility to do our best within whatever means God has given us to help take care of our parents. And so the fifth commandment is really about authority. It's about honor and respect for those that God has put into our lives as mothers and fathers. And but also there's an implication for the way that we view the elderly in general, right? And we live in a society, so you have to understand that a society that will kill their unborn children are not going to treat parents in old age well. Okay? I mean, why is abortion so rampant? It's because of our commitment to convenience and avoiding the hard things. Well, having a baby is nothing in comparison to actually trying to care for aging parents who are in a state of weakness or sickness. And so it is not a surprise that the elderly are marginalized in our society, and yet the Bible demands that we honor those who have the gray hairs. We honor the elderly, we honor our parents. And so our Lord Jesus, by the way, was in submission to his parents in his childhood, right? Luke 2:52, Jesus was actually in submission to his parents. He obeyed his parents. But by the way, Jesus also took care of his mother before he died. In John chapter 19, 25, 26, Jesus actually commits Mary's care into the hands of his beloved disciple John. So the fall obviously has impacted families, and sometimes you have bad parents and sometimes you have bad kids. So we look to God's grace as parents and as children. We look for wisdom on how to best honor those that God has put into our lives as moms and dads. And I would remind us this is, in fact, the first commandment with a promise. So, all right. Okay, so I'm certainly not an expert on a lot of these questions, but are there any questions that you'd like to raise in terms of the fifth commandment before we close? Yeah. And I don't really know what the answer is or what the balance is, because you always have to figure out what honoring them looks like, but you also have your own family, right? But I will say as a point of application of what you're bringing up to people who have adult children, don't make life hard on your adult kids, right? Don't make life unnecessarily hard on your adult kids, right? I mean, there's a sense where we could really make life miserable by being demanding, by not taking care of ourselves, by not making preparations for old age. You know, I mean, right now we're dealing with this with Ariel's mom, who has not done anything to improve her condition, her health, anything, and she loves the attention that she gets from Ariel, who has to give it to her so that she, you know, doesn't have another stroke, right? So if you have adult kids, you have to think, okay, they have their own life, and I want to respect that. And I want to make my old age as easy as possible on them, you know? So when you're in your 50s, start thinking about long-term insurance to take care of you so that they don't have to stick you in some place that makes them feel absolutely guilty every day, right? Or incredibly enthusiastic and glad, okay? And so, you know, I think it's hard, but I think that the parents of adult children really do need to do a better job of trying to be in that more of a supporting role instead of trying to take center stage all the time. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, whether we've had really great parents or whether we've had mediocre parents or even bad parents, Lord, we do thank you that that you sovereignly put them in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and grace to know how to best apply the commandment to our relationship with them. And Father, I pray too that we wouldn't look for easy outs or excuses to cut corners in obeying you. And Lord, I pray also for our young guys who are here, who are still at home. I pray, Father, that they would see that this is a commandment which is given for their good. But I also pray, Lord, that you would, through the law, bring the knowledge of sin and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. And so we commit this day to you. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.